And I remember now you reminded me that my mom would talk about Quincy, Massachusetts. She was from Boston and favored Howard Johnson's, especially for the fried clams, which I still look for. And if you know where to get them in Pittsburgh, there are some amazing fried clams, not quite like New England, but some amazing ones here if you can find them. And that's wow, Quincy, Massachusetts. And that's pretty neat that your dad actually knew the Howard Johnson and worked for Mr. Howard Johnson. That's an incredible memory. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's birthday time now. Happy birthday today to Colleen. A perfect name for a day like today from Ken and your family and everybody at Pittsburgh Musical Theater. Colleen is their executive directory, or director, or directory. Don't mind me, I call those speakos instead of typos. I am wide awake, but sometimes my mouth gets ahead of my brain. Miguel of McKeesport has a birthday today as well. Tomorrow, Dominicio from your family, Mary Beth from son Noah, Marley from Tom and Dee, Wendy Mackin from John, Jackie of Glassport from your family, Aline up in Saco, Maine from husband Jeff, and Michael of Fenelton from your family, all celebrating tomorrow. On the 14th, we have Leonard of Monroeville, Verna and Scott, Alyssa of Valencia, Eric in Point Breeze, and Rob of Morningside. Happy birthday, Rob. Ethan is our first March 15th birthday. We also have Derek of Poland, Karen of Allison Park, and Ken, husband of the aforementioned Colleen, celebrates on the 15th. Thomas of Butler from your family, Olivia Rose from Pam and Vaughn, and Carl, happy birthday to you on the 16th. Happy birthday to Simon Charles Cucaro from Dad Dominicchio, Mom Sherry, Brother Desi, and all of your family. Happy birthday also to Olva of Munhall, Trey of Claysburg, Erica from Mom and Jonathan, and to Maggie of Squirrel Hill. Happy birthday to you. Also, we have Karen of Ligonier from Steve, Pat in West Mifflin. These are on the 17th. Eric and Plum, Jill from Janice and Tom, and Tim from Deb. On March 18th, Sally of McMurray, Bina from the Bingham family, Rachel of New Brighton, Tracy, George of the South Hills, Keith and Hunker from Louise, Pam and Vaughn and Heather. Also, happy birthday to David of Glenfield, Avery of Allison Park, Kirsty from Mickey and Pam, and Jacob of Munhall, all on March 18th.
SLB announces listener birthdays at 8:55 every week. Would you like to surprise a friend or family member? Just send us their birthday information and address, and SLB will mention their birthday on the radio the Saturday of or before it occurs, and send a card too. To add your birthday or surprise a friend or family member by adding theirs, visit slbradio.org/birthdays or write to us at slb@slbradio.org or P.O. Box 100092, Pittsburgh, P.A., 15233.
I believe I've acknowledged all of the emails and text messages that have come in. If for some reason I've missed yours, Our apologies. It's been a really busy morning, and thank you for spending it with us. Coming up, we are going to play Guess Who, giving you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. Also, in our next hour, we're going to preview the next community-supported art presentation at the new Hazlett Theater with our friend Feral Cat. Plus, more songs for St. Patrick's Day weekend, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM, Fort Collins, Colorado, and SLBRadio.org/radio.
Didn't come back again. Didn't go very fast on a steam-powered airplane. Oh, the wheel went around and up and down inside and then back again. Sitting in a 747 just swudging in clouds roll by. Can't tell if the sunshine if it's rain. Rather be sitting in a deck chair high below Kansas City on a genuine old-fashioned all-dinner steam-powered airplane. Seven just watching them clouds roll by. Can't tell if it's sunshine, if it's rain. Rather be sitting in a deck chair high above in Kansas City on a genuine old-fashioned all-dinner steam-powered airplane.
That's New Grass Revival. Man, what a great song, right? Steam-powered aeroplane. Clocks spring forward 1 hour tonight so that we can enjoy more of this beautiful weather. Take care if you're just getting up and if you're listening in western Pennsylvania. We had about 5 inches of snow overnight. The St. Patrick's Day parade in our neck of the woods is on. And we're glad you're tuned in to Saturday Light Brigade here, as always. Can I tell you something? I mentioned this earlier, if you were here around 6. But this week, we had our first major activities in our brand new youth media center. We'll have pictures soon. Winchester Thurston School was here. We had about 35 students visiting us for workshops inside of the studio that Ricky and I are in now, as well as in our new classroom area. And the very next day, we had 59 musicians from North Hills Middle School performing on the radio. And it was our pleasure to have them performing for a segment that we will broadcast in the weeks ahead here. So really terrific to have about 100 folks into our brand new youth media center. And we'll keep you posted as things continue, but it was just absolutely terrific to have them aboard to help us get started. Now, let's give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. It's time to play Guess Who. We're about to give you a pair of initials, and it's up to you to guess who they belong to. We have one person in mind. It could be a man, a woman, somebody real, somebody fictitious, somebody living or no longer living. Maybe it's somebody from the world of sports, literature, film, entertainment, arts, history. No matter who it is, we think it's a name well known enough that you should be able to come up with the person it is, or you'll recognize the person that it is. This week's initials, J. L. J. L. That's J as in Juniata and L as in Ligonier. J. L. 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. You can guess as many times as you would like, and we will do our best to let you know how other people are guessing as they do. Good luck to you as we play Guess Who. This morning, we've been featuring Andy Irvine and Paul Brady and an album that they put out back in 1976. This next song has a mention of Martinmas in it, which is celebrated in November. And despite the fact that it's not the time for that celebration, it's still a great song, and we wanted to call attention to the re-release of this album. Here, again, another track, Andy Irvine and Paul Brady.
It fell out upon one Martinmas time when snow lay on the border. There came a troop of soldiers here to take up their winter quarters. Thank you.
They've rowed north and they've rowed south, and they've rowed o'er the border. And there they met with a nice little girl, and she was a farmer's daughter. And they've made her swear a solemn oath, with the salt tear in her eye, oh, that she would come to the quarter gates when no one did her spy, oh. And she's gone to the barber's shop, to the barber's shop went soon, oh. She's made them cut her long yellow hair as short as any dragoon, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. And she's gone to the tailor's shop and dresses in soldier's clothes, oh. Two long pistols down by her side, a nice little boy was she, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. And she's gone to the quarter gates, and loudly she does call, oh. There comes a troop of soldiers here, and we must have lodgings all, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. And the quartermaster, he comes down, he gives her half a crown, oh. Go find your lodgings in the town, for here there is no room, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. Louder she does call, oh. Roam, roam, ye gentlemen, we must have lodgings all, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. Oh, the quartermaster, he comes down, he gives her 18 pence, oh. Go find your lodgings in the town, tonight there comes a wench, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. Oh, she took a whistle from her side, she blew it loud and shrill, oh. You're all very free with your 18 pence, you're not for the girl at all, oh. With me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-la-daddy-o, with me right fa-lay-de-lee-de-lay-ree. And she took the garters from her knees, the ribbons from her hair, oh. She's tied them around the quarter gates as a token she's been there, oh. And when they found that it was her, they tried to have her taken, but she slapped her spurs to her horse's side, she's galloped home a maiden. Thank you.
Andy Irvine and Paul Brady. I am so happy to see lots of folks outside that are going to be joining us in our next hour. Some young writers, lots of guesses are coming in as we play Guess Who. And I don't think we have the correct answer yet, despite all the people that have been guessed. Let's start with Annie, who has a guess of Jennifer Lawrence and Jennifer Love Hewitt. Not those two, nor is it Jack London, Joey Lawrence, or Jack Lloyd. And by the way, Annie and Matt are working as a team this morning in our doubles competition here. They're working together. John and Carrick has Joe Lewis, John Lithgow, Jim Lovell, and Julie London. None of those is it either. You just made me think of Jim Lang, host of The Dating Game and California disc jockey. It's not Jim Lang. Nick in New York City has Joe Lewis, Jenny Lind, John Lewis, Jerry Lewis. You couldn't get three more different Lewises than Jerry Lewis, John Lewis, and Joe Lewis. And also Jack LaLanne. It's not those. Mike just guessed Joe E. Lewis, not Joe E. Lewis, not John Legend or John Leguizamo. It's not John Legend, just because by Gerald in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Aline in Saco, Maine has Jay Leno, Chaplain Steve has Jones and Lachlan. It's not Jones and Lachlan, nor is it Jerry Lewis, Jerry Lee Lewis, or Jack LaLanne. Ty in Squirrel Hill just guessed one of my favorite actors, John Larroquette. Not him, not John Lovitz. That's another great guess. Nor Joey Lawrence or Jim Leyland or John Lawrence or John Lennon. Lots of guesses coming in. Angie has Janet Lee, Jones and Lachlan, John Lennon, Jack Lemmon, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Jerry Lewis. Bill, my friend Bill Askin, has one of the greatest guesses, Jimmy Lunsford. It's not Jimmy Lunsford, but man, is that a good guess. Nor is it June Lockhart from Lassie. Kathy in Youngstown guessed John Lennon. And we have Jamie Lee Curtis from the team of Annie and Matt, who also have John Lieber, which made me think of Joe Lieberman, and John Lennon. John and Carrick has Jay Leno, in addition to his earlier guesses. Chaplain Steve just added John Lennon and Jack Lemmon. Ty in Squirrel Hill, I thought you had it for a minute as I was reading your latest guesses. Jude Law and Juliet Lewis. But those are not correct. And let's see, Mary in Blonox. Hello to you, Mary. I don't know who this is. I'm going to have to look this person up. Joanne Lumley. British actress, presenter, former model, TV producer, and activist. in the BBC show, which ran for 20 years, called Absolutely Famous. As one of my college professors once told me, that's a serious gap in my knowledge. He said that about a mathematics topic, not pop culture. Linda has Cherry Levine, Jessica Lange, Jerry Lewis, Juliette Lewis, Jude Law, and Jones and Lachlan, the steel company. Let me do my best to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Ty added Jack Lemmon. Janet Lay added by John and Carrick. Jack London added by Ty. Jimmy Leprechaun added by Mary in McCandless. Julian Lennon added by Ty. Barb and Aspinwall, you came up with the correct answer. You're the only one so far, Barb. Well done. Get Barb a cookie, would you? Well done, Barb. Jack Lambert just guessed by Mike and Mars. Jane Lynch by John and Carrick. Jet Lee by Annie in Eastern PA and Matt, and that just made me think of Jeff Lynne. And let me see if I missed anybody else. I'm looking through earlier guesses. Russ had Jennifer Lopez, John Larroquette, Jay Leno, John Lennon, Julian Lennon, Jerry Lewis, Jude Law, Jack Lemmon, Jane Lynch, John Legend, and Jerry Lee Lewis. Bruce had Jane Leaves, Jim Lehrer, Jack London, and Jerry Lewis. Jeff in State College, John Lennon, Jay Leno, John Lithgow, and Jeff Lynne. And I think we had just a few more. Tom and McCandless had a long, long list, including Jack Lambert, Jim Lang, Joan London, Jenny Lind, Joseph Lister, and John Locke, and Joy Luck. Three we haven't had yet, Juliette Lewis. And I think all of the others have been mentioned. So far, just one correct answer, that being from Barb. Mike and Mars just guessed Jiffy Lube. Annie and Matt added Jessica Lange and Joseph Lister. Oh, thank you, Mike. Joanna Lumley was an absolutely fabulous, or abfab for short. I think I said absolutely famous as I was looking at her brief bio. John and Carrick had Jack LaLanne. Jeff just guessed Jack Lord. That's a new one. And Jennifer Lopez from Nick in New York City. And I believe we are now up. Oh, here, is that it? Yes, Russ in North Carolina also came up with the person we are looking for. 412-200-5975. A few more guesses coming in. I'm going to take a look at them in just a moment. I will tell you, we're looking for a woman, and a woman who is not fictitious. Not Jessica Lange from Ty. And Richard in Butler, you just got it correct as well. Jeff in State College just guessed Jack London as well. Alan just guessed Jack LaLanne. Aileen guessed Julian Lennon. Josh Lucas guessed by John and Carrick. And Jane Leaves, also by John. And it looks like we've got Linda in Titusville with us. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi. It's nice to have you with us. Forgive the small talk, but what's the weather like in Titusville? Did you get a lot of snow?
Oh, we got about 3 or 4 inches.
That's about the same here. It's just snow, but a lot of folks weren't expecting it. I know they were calling for it, but I said, yeah, right. Is it
After
really good?
A beautiful day yesterday. We weren't hoping for it, for sure.
Well, you came up with this. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was this the first person you guessed?
It kind of was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, when I was little, and on our Brownie Girl Scout troop, every March we would do something about Juliet Lowe.
Juliet? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that this was the anniversary of possibly when she started the Girl Scouts.
You're exactly right, and I think the Bugler is going to confirm that.
Woohoo!
there the Bugler is. And indeed, Juliet Lowe today is the anniversary of the founding of the Girl Scouts. And you must have been a Girl Scout growing up.
I was. My mother was our leader.
Do you have any particular memories of something you learned or something you really enjoyed doing as part of Girl Scouts?
Oh, there were so many things. Just going camping and meeting every week. And we had, we had meetings at our house sometimes. So it was just always fun time to get together with those girls.
Oh, I'll bet. And, my friend Bill, his mom was a Girl Scout leader and his sister was a Girl Scout. He got to participate in all sorts of Girl Scouting activities.
Oh, absolutely. My brother went on all the camping trips.
Yeah. But it was today, back in 1912, that Juliet Gordon Lowe from Savannah, Georgia, started the group. And initially, they were called Girl Guides, but then eventually they became known as the Girl Scouts. So, well done.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you're listening and that you came up with the right answer.
It was a great game. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for calling us. That's Linda in Titusville. And also correct answers from Richard in Butler, from Russ in North Carolina, Barb in Aspinwall, and I believe I have acknowledged all of the correct answers. If I missed your name, my apologies. Juliet Gordon Lowe is who we were looking for, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions. Do you have a Girl Scout memory you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. 412-200-5975.
Cookie man on my way from the cookie pan. A little piece broke off of me. A little piece broke off of me, A little piece broke off of me, But I can taste just as good, as a regular cookie can. I'm a little chocolate bar, I am. And I was made by the chocolate man on my way to the chocolate stand. I got a little bend in me, chocolate bar can. Well, I'm a little Tootsie Roll, I am, and I was made by the Tootsie Roll Man. On my way from Tootsie Roll Land, I got a little twist in me. I got a little twist in me, uh-huh. I got a little twist in me, uh-huh. But I can taste just as good, uh-huh, as a regular Tootsie Roll can. I got a little dent in me, uh-huh, but I can taste just as good, uh-huh, as a regular gumdrop can. Oh, I'm a little cookie, yes I am, and I was made by the Cookie Man. On my way from the cookie pan, a little piece broke off of me. Well, now I ain't as round as I might be, but I taste good, just wait and see, and I can love twice as hard as a regular cookie can.
It's Claudia Schmidt at the Saturday Light Brigade. Girl Scouting is more than just cookies, but we sure all think about cookie sales. Ricky and I were at a big box store the other day to pick up a couple things that we needed, and there was a card table with all sorts of people around it, and we were clueless as to what could be so exciting. And it was cookie sales, Girl Scout cookie sales, which probably dwindled last year and maybe even the year before due to the pandemic, but it was fun to see girls out raising money. We always sold oranges and grapefruits for marching band at Churchill Area High School. I know some of the groups sold candy. Oh, when I was in the Key Club in high school, we didn't sell them. They were little bonuses we gave you if you donated. If you made a donation to the Kiwanis, you received a little bag of peanuts. And I think maybe we didn't have a peanut selling license, so we were just we were giving away the peanuts for free, but you made a donation, and I think you qualified for peanuts regardless, as we learned. But I can remember doing that like it was yesterday. I don't know if you have any stories you might want to share about doing that. There were all sorts of things that you might be employed to sell as you were growing up, as I think about it. Newspaper subscriptions, magazines, sometimes for a good cause, sometimes just for you as the good cause. I mean, certainly you qualify as a good cause, right?
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's SPACIAL.com.
We have got lots of opportunities for middle school and high school students to get involved in our new Youth Media Center programs. You can learn about those opportunities by going to slbradio.org/ apply, slbradio.org/apply. Well, Mick asks a good question. He is in St. Clair, and he wants to know when the Girl Scouts began selling cookies and what were the variations they initially sold. That's a really good question. And according to People Magazine, the first cookie dates to 1917, 5 years after the founding. And it was a troop in Muskogee, Oklahoma, a place I've been to. The Mistletoe Troop in Muskogee, Oklahoma, baked cookies and sold them at a local high school cafeteria as part of a service project. So that was the initial thought. I need to know more than that, though, don't you? The girls took the lead and kicked off what eventually would evolve into the Girl Scout cookies as we know them today. This from the Senior Director of Communications and External Affairs at Girl Scouts of the USA. By 1922, American Girl magazine, published by Girl Scouts, featured a cookie recipe. It was a sugar cookie recipe. It was distributed in the magazine to 2,000 Scouts. And it was suggested that girls bake them and sell them for 25 to 30 cents per dozen. And this would be in 1922. And over the next years, Girl Scouts continue to bake their own cookies following the sugar cookie recipe, packaging them in wax paper bags and selling them door to door. In 1933, Girl Scouts of Greater Philadelphia became the first to sell commercially baked cookies, 44 cookies for just 23 cents. Not to be outdone, the Girl Scouts of Greater New York in 1935 sold their own commercially baked cookies in the shape of a trefoil. Then in 1936, everything comes to big business. The National Girl Scout Organization licensed commercial bakers to produce cookies to be sold nationwide. 1 year later, 125 Girl Scout councils had gone from the homemade cookies to the nationally baked cookies. In 1951, you had the sandwich, the shortbread, and the chocolate mints, now known as Thin Mints. And the flavors continued to evolve since then. It's interesting to think about, isn't it? Good morning again to Dick and Butler. Who knew we were looking for Juliet Gordon-Lowe? Two reminders, the St. Patrick's Day Parade will step off soon. The snow pretty much has stopped in the Pittsburgh area. And the parade is one of the largest in our region. Actually, it certainly is the largest in our region. It's one of the largest in the country. So if you're heading into the city for other reasons, you might hit a little traffic. Also, we'll allow this particular song to be featured right now. A guy named Fred Feel sent this to us a few years back, and it's a good reminder of what you need to do tonight to stay on time with everybody else. Clocks go ahead 1 hour this weekend.
Every fall, every spring, most of us do the same old thing. Gain an hour here, lose an hour there, but for daylight savings, I just don't care. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Well, I know you can do it, 'cause you got the knack. Spring forward, fall back. Well, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. But daylight savings is a crying shame, and old Ben Franklin is the one to blame. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Well, I know you can do it, 'cause you got the knack. Spring forward, fall back. When Dylan said we gotta change the time, it wasn't daylight savings he had in mind. It's just a big headache, as we all know, that old daylight savings has got to go. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Well, I know you can do it, 'cause you got the knack. Spring forward, fall back. Daylight savings is here to stay. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Well, I know you can do it, 'cause you got the knack. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back. Spring forward, fall back.
There you've got Fred Feel with a bit of his own editorial about the time changes. I was excited before when Bill guessed Jimmy Lunsford for Guess Who. Do you know his music? Well, you will in a moment. Here he is. Thank you.
second floor. I talked with a patient, room 234. I said, you don't look crazy, can't see why you're here. He sort of looked at me and smiled and whispered in my ear, I'm nuts about screwy music. I'm screwy about nutty rhythm. I'm dilly over all silly melodies, crazy as a loon can be. I'm daffy about goofy tempo. I'm goofy about daffy changes. I'm dippy of all dizzy harmony written in a minor key. I love to hear sounds that are queer. I'm eccentric, they say. There's a boot in a flute or a mellow moaning cello. I'm nuts about screwy music. I'm screwy about nutty rhythm. I'm dilly over all silly melodies, crazy as a loon can be.
First I came to the USA with my guitar in hand. I was told that I could get a job singing songs from Ireland. So I headed up to Boston, I was sure it would be all right. But the very first night I got on the stage, I was in for a big surprise. They said, you're not Irish, you can't be Irish, you don't know Danny Boy. Or Tooraloora, or even Irish eyes. You've got the hell of a nerve to say you came from Ireland. So cut out all the nonsense and sing McNamara's band. That was the chorus. To tell the truth, I got quite a shock and I didn't know what to say. So I sang a song in Gaelic, I thought that might win the day. But they looked at me suspiciously and I didn't know what was wrong. And all of a sudden they started to shout, now sing a real Irish song. Oh, you're not Irish, you can't be Irish, you don't know Danny Boy. Or Tooraloora, or even Irish eyes. You've got the hell of a nerve to say you came from Ireland. So cut out all the nonsense and sing McNamara's band. Well, the next day I was on my way for Chicago, I was bound. I was ready to give it another try, not let it get me down. From the stage they looked quite friendly, but I'd hardly sung one word. When a voice called out from the back of the room, and what do you think I heard? You're not Irish, you can't be Irish, you don't know Danny Boy. Or Tooraloora, or even Irish eyes. You've got the hell of a nerve to say you came from Ireland. So cut out all the nonsense and sing McNamara's band. Well, I've traveled all around the country, but it's always been the same. From LA to Philadelphia and from Washington to Maine. And sometimes now I wonder if it's a secret society. And it doesn't matter wherever I go, they'll be waiting there for me. Saying you're not Irish, you can't be Irish, you don't know Danny Boy. Irish eyes. You've got the hell of a nerve to say you came from Ireland. So cut out all the nonsense and sing back the bar as bad. Ya da 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 da.
That's Robbie O'Connell at the Saturday Light Brigade. This is a little flashback from another appearance of Feral Cat on the Saturday Light Brigade back a couple years ago, I believe. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Larry, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You probably haven't heard that in a while.
It depends.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Feral Cat, based here in Pittsburgh, is a phenomenal composer, reeds player, and just a really innovative person. And I'm glad you could join us. I know Saturday is a busy day. You're giving lessons and also getting ready for Disassembly, which is going to premiere this week at the new Hazlett Theater. Thursday and Friday are the show times. Disassembly is described as a story about finding identity in the midst of oppression. And it's told through synth pop, progressive rock, jazz fusion, and retro video game influenced animation. That's kind of it in a nutshell, but let's peel back a little bit. I'm curious what inspired you to write this and how you went about putting it together.
Well, what inspired to write this was just instance of pandemic really shifting the way I thought about producing and creating music, where I had really been, since our last interview, there was a trajectory where I was going to get to kind of tour around with the band, but that got shut down pretty quickly at the beginning of 2020. And I had to make a pivot, a sort of shift in what I wanted to do with the work that I was making. So about maybe 4 or 5 months into the pandemic, the band and I kind of realized that we shouldn't really be preparing to tour so much as like, let's try and do something cool with this music that could exist. And so I went about writing a script, a small story. It turned out to be about 45 pages long. I wrote it over the last year or so as a story to kind of sync up to the music that I've been writing over the past couple of years. The 2D pixel art and animated, like retro video game style, it's just something that's very near and dear to me. And I thought it was something that was possible, like actually physically possible to do within a certain amount of time and with limited financial resources to make this story kind of pop up to life and put the video and audio together. And my music is largely instrumental, so as many times as I get told, hey, maybe you should have vocals on your music, which I don't like. I'm not opposed to vocalists. In fact, I mostly listen to a ton of music that has vocals in it. I'm not just exclusive to instrumentals, but I do enjoy the prospect of instrumental music, but specifically in the context of a story or something greater, like in video games. So I wanted to try that out for myself.
So, when people come to see you at the new Hazlett, I imagine you'll be playing and you might be doing some looping or additional audio embellishment. Will you be the only musician present?
No. So I'll be performing this music with my band, Feral Cat in the Wild. A number of pieces were written for band. Some pieces were written by myself with my computer in my studio, and some of those were adapted to be played with full band, and a couple of pieces which are more like very much heavily lean on video game composition and doing these sort of works for picture, those I would perform on my own to tracks that I've like pre-produced effectively. So the show will kind of be like cue to cue on scenes that some of them have fully completed backgrounds and then some like background tracks, and then some of the songs have no background track where it's just the band performing it with myself included. I play throughout the show.
Wow. And as for the visuals, are those already made or will there be some improv in terms of how they appear?
So as much as I love improvised music and I work in improvised music a ton and I will continue to for probably the rest of my life, this particular show has almost none everything is gridded out to a T. It's a like 50-minute show with starts and stops and starts and stops, and everything's pretty laid out to begin with, including the visuals, which I worked with an animation studio from the UK over the last 4 months to storyboard and sort of like bring that script into visual play. I'm actually still working on synchronizing the audio and sound effects.
I could imagine. And I asked you these questions with great curiosity because I know you are an improviser. And as I think about the complexity of the story you want to tell and the number of constraints, there's the story, there's you, there's the band, and then there's the animation. I was curious about how you would construct this in a way that's faithful to the story you want to tell. And it sounds like a lot of work and maybe getting you into a little bit of a different area as an artist than you're accustomed to. Is that a fair statement? Because I know as an improviser, you're incredible. Here, you've really got to focus, right? Or not focus, not focus isn't the right word, but you've got to build and finalize, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. A lot of this was make decisions. There's a plenty. I 100% agree. There was so much of doing this project was diving into a whole new set of like artistic goals.
Yeah.
I wanted to be able to produce my own tracks. I wanted to be able to edit film and video and audio together. I wanted to be able to speak the language of the animators while we were talking through this kind of stuff. And yeah, it was a lot of things kind of like picked up over the last few years with production, like audio production being the main thing that I probably spent the most time on. But at the same time, I still see myself as an amateur on almost everything besides like saxophone and improvisation and composition. So those are clearly the strengths that will be displayed during disassembly, with everything else kind of being like, this is what I've worked on and tried to get better at over the last few years. You will see my product because I have to show it. But at a certain level, I'm anxious that it doesn't quite showcase what I want it or what I dreamed it would be, because there is still a level of like I'm learning and I'm picking up these skills as I go. So it's not necessarily a work in progress so much as I am a work in progress and will continue to be a work in progress and hope to get better at these skills, basically, as I continue.
Well, I hope folks will check this out. It's called Disassembly. Disassembly. It is, well, there's only three shows, March 17th and March 18th at the New Hazlett Theater. We have a link to the New Hazlett for times and tickets, and it took me a while to wrap my head around the story, but it's finding identity in the midst of oppression told through music that synth pop, progressive rock, jazz, fusion, but also through these retro video game influenced animations. That sets the stage for what Feral Cat and the Wild will bring you on the 17th and 18th. Thank you. I know things are really busy given the amount of work you still have left. Anything else you wanted to mention about the show?
Just that I'm very excited for everyone to see it. There's some incredible stage design, some incredible lighting, really cool costumes. This show kind of has a little bit of everything, and I'm also a little bit sad that it'll only be three nights. I'm sure there'll be other opportunities to perform this work in the future.
Here's hoping for that. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you soon. Take care.
Thank you, Larry. Take it easy.
That's Feral Cat. The New Hazlett Theater is where you can find more information. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green. This is Larry Berger. Young Writers Live. Coming up in our next hour. This is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM, McKeesport Radio Phoenix, .org, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, the Audio Now Network at area code 515-605-9542 and slbradio.org/radio. All month long, Women's History Month features. Here are women from Pittsburgh's legendary Aurora Reading Club.
I think Aurora is so special.
When you read some of what the women have been involved in, it's really fascinating.
These were women who formed this reading club who were like a little bit under, I guess, 30 years of slavery.
And the women that started this group had in mind that they wanted to lift as they climb. That meant that they had to share some of their own abilities poetically and in the arts, and they wanted to also work with other people to bring them along.
These women, in a truly almost spiritual way, lifted each other up, and you can feel that still when you come into the room because these members still do that.
My mother-in-law had invited me to a number of meetings. At the time, I was fully employed, and when I was invited to become a member, I was hesitant to join because I knew that they always had meetings on Wednesday afternoons. But my husband encouraged me to join because he said it was a legacy, because several of his family members had been members prior to that. So I joined and would sometimes take the day off work to attend meetings.
I was invited by a member of my church. Her name was Ida Buchanan. And it was only later, after I'd been a member for a while, I was working with the archives, and I discovered that my great-grandmother and my grandmother had been members of the club.
I became affiliated because of Miss Margaret Burley. I've known Miss Burley since I was in third grade. She was actually my teacher.
I was invited to join the Aurora Reading Club by Thelma Morris, who is the great-great-niece of the founder, Rachel Lovett Jones.
Margaret and I joined the same year, so 22 years, and I'm a fourth generation, or what we call a legacy member. So my relatives who were co-founders with Mrs. Jones, and now here I am. We have had so many rich partnerships over the years.
We did a partnership with the Heinz History Center, and we worked on the Underground Railroad project.
We heard some stories from Pittsburgh Arts and Lectures. We've partnered with Carnegie Libraries. We've worked very closely, most especially with the Homewood Library and Denise Graham. We have partnered with Friday Club of Greensburg, LaRoche College.
We work with the Pittsburgh Public Schools. There are three of us that volunteer and read with the children once a week. And this is our fourth year doing this.
Well, I think some of my favorite moments are working together on different projects in the Aurora Club, because we had so much fun together when we did the quilt and we had to do our squares, and when we worked on the scrapbook, it was just